I traveled the world for these. Wish I could do it again.
Yeah. Good morning, Nikki.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey, Nikki.
Hi.
Hey, Harold.
We got folks in the waiting room. Sorry.
I wonder if Derek will be here.
Okay.
Yeah. How's he doing? Does anybody know?
Yeah, he was in very good spirits, and
yes.
He's got it all arranged. He's a member of the Masons, and they are really being very, very supportive. And he will be having the surgery on Monday, hopefully in the morning, because that's when the surgeons are most alert. But no. And he's very optimistic about it.
Oh, good. Do we know surgery for what?
Yes. He's having bypass surgery.
Bypass.
To the type that you open up the chest.
Right.
Oh. I'll think extra thoughts.
Yeah.
You said that's happening on Monday, or they're waiting to get the date?
No, they're doing it on Monday.
They're doing it on Monday, okay.
I hope they do it in the morning. That's the best time to have surgery.
Yeah.
Mom used to be.
But he's very confident because this is a terrific hospital. And his cardiologist is first rate, so he's got every reason. There he is.
There he is.
We're talking about you.
We're talking about you,
Derek.
Taking your name and name.
Yeah.
I was saying that you were very optimistic.
Well, I'm doing quite well. I just had a shower too, so I looked a little funny, but.
Yeah.
You always look funny.
You look.
Good morning, Eric. It's good to see you.
Feeling good.
Oh, good.
So the surgery will be Monday morning, and everything's
terrific.
I'm quite happy with that. So.
I was just saying, morning surgery is always the best because the surgeons are most alert.
Yes.
Exactly.
Always ask the surgeons before you go under, say, is everybody in a good mood?
My mom used to assist in those surgeries as a registered nurse sometimes. She also worked cardiac ICU, and she had a couple of cases where they actually, in Sharpie or marker, operate here.
Well, that's important.
Where that happened.
That's very important.
Yeah. Be super sure.
Every surgery I've had, they've marked with Sharpie when I'm still alert.
Yes.
So that we all know what's happening.
Me too.
Thank you.
Well, Derek will definitely be thinking of you. Do you know what time you're scheduled for yet?
No, just Monday morning.
Just Monday morning? Okay.
I didn't ask for the time. I didn't ask how many hours.
Every surgery I've had, they've marked with Sharpie when I'm still alert.
Yes.
So we all know what's happening.
Me too.
Thank you.
We're in the Matrix well. Derek will definitely be thinking of you. Do you know what time you're scheduled for yet?
Here is the, you know, just
the
hospital.
Just Monday morning?
Monday.
Okay.
Shutdown. I didn't ask for the time. I didn't ask how many hours.
Every surgery I've had, they've marked with Sharpie when I'm still alert. Yes, we all know.
Sent all the students, this is a teaching hospital. They sent all the student nurses home. All the staff now is wearing all kinds of protective gear. I can't even go to the bathroom without putting a mask on my face. So.
Thanks.
That's the scary part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's fine.
Hey, Shirley.
You know
what? Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
For those of you who just hopped on, we were just catching up a little bit, and I'm going to just kind of start us off, and then we'll get into a spot where we can share more about what's on our hearts right now. So welcome to everyone to the Saturday service. This is Religion Outside the Box, November 28, 2020. We're almost done. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
The wildest year went by the fastest. I'm Tony. I'm going to be with you all today instead of Rabbi, but you know. Rabbi's taking a break, and helping this way. I also want to say hello to everybody who's joining on Facebook and YouTube, and also encourage you all. I know that Rabbi's got a couple of places like that. I want to encourage you to take advantage of those as other spaces and ways to connect, so that you stay kind of engaging each other, engaging with his spiritual fitness things, and just sort of, you know, take advantage of all the ways that we can be connected in a time like this. We were just talking right before the official start. We've got some folks who are, Derek mentioned that he's got surgery coming up on Monday. I also just wanted to make a little bit of room to hear from other folks to share a little bit about what's going on in your world, what's on your mind, what can we be joining you with as we share space together and then move into the week.
I'm reconnected with a niece of mine that I've been out of touch with for probably 5 or 10 years. So that was good news.
Wonderful. Thank you. Marcus, I think you were just starting to talk, and it was a little bit hard to hear you at the start.
I apologize.
No, that's okay. I just wanted you to know that it was a little hard to catch you.
Okay. So we've had some... Oh, I don't like being spotlighted. sorry. We had some major changes at my job. Our program boss was removed from his position, and I would just like to ask for prayers for my coworkers and us to be able to move forward after months of dealing with division and hate, that we can move forward stronger and refocus our energy on the hard work that we do. And also, if you guys could pray for Gary, that, you know, even though he had to face some hard consequences of his actions, that this somehow helps him see that the hate that he harbors for those that are different is really not productive, and maybe he has a change of heart.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
It would be nice.
Mm. Thank you, Marcus. Rejoining
with
that one. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm doing the prayers. Two things that are in my mind and my heart. One of them, I'm planning on my retirement year. So that's going to be a real change after working for 20 plus years. Also there's a document that I need to find, for that very thing. It has to do with, the money that I will receive. And I misplaced the paper somewhere, and I need to find it pronto. So my peace of mind, I mean, I still have time, but you know. But anyways, I need to find it.
Thank you.
We'll pray that the Tommy knockers bring it back to you.
There you go.
Yeah. I'd like... Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to get some healing prayers for my dad, who celebrated his 79th birthday this week by having a small stroke.
Oh.
There's no such thing as a small stroke.
Right. He's doing great. He's doing great.
Well, that's terrific.
Jonathan, what's your dad's name?
Jerry Lax.
Jerry, okay. Thank you.
We'll call him Relax.
Right. He needs it.
That was great.
Word one.
Great. Thank you, Jonathan. We'll be joining you on that one for sure, too. Anything else? Of course, don't feel pressure to say it out loud. You can throw it in the chat as well. We just want to take advantage of the collective momentum that comes behind thinking about and centering our hearts and minds on something together, taking care of one another that way. One sec. Let me see. Okay. So Thank you to everyone who's here today. I also want to throw out a couple of thanks to Joe for moderating the chat. Thank you, Joe. You will be seen and read for participating there. So everyone, let's say thanks to Joe for keeping up with that for us. I want to say thank you to Lee for logging the information that goes into the YouTube, Facebook, or YouTube description. And of course, a thank you to each of you for showing up with willing hearts and an openness to tend to one another. I want to start off with some of Rabbi's announcements so that we can get into the other stuff we've got set for today. The announcements are that Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Time out. There's lots of... Okay, so yes. So as you all know, usually Alex is with us moderating the tech, and she's not able to be with us this week, so we've got a sub here. Give me one sec, let me see if the sub wants to be named. Sub, do you want to be named? You can message me.
I think it'd be all right that they know that it's me.
Rabbi is among us. Okay. So Rabbi's handling the tech. Thank you, Rabbi, for doing that. Obviously, I'm still trying to figure out how to tend to the group dynamics myself. Rabbi's taking Alex's spot this week, so thank you, Rabbi, for doing that. We definitely miss Alex. Alex, we miss you if you're watching this later.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing a fine job.
Did somebody
so far?
Tony,
yes,
I want to ask for prayers for you. If the rabbi is doing your tech, good luck.
Amen. Ashe.
Out of the group.
You know what's funny is that I was thinking about this earlier. Rabbi is way more millennial than I am in that regard. Like, he's teaching me so much about tech that I'm supposed to be teaching, you know, like the assumption is that, anyway, he's much savvier than I am. So, but I still receive the prayers because a lot to think about too.
This month, more technical day, we'll take prayer and fasting.
Right.
Very quickly.
Call the rabbi when he's not there.
he's in here, so.
There you go.
I want to finish these announcements just real fast. So the Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, it's a meditation with Rabbi Brian. The first 20 people to claim in the spot get $5 cash. Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, our rabbi's office hour. So pop in if you want to chat, move into something exciting with him. You can shop for your holiday gifts at the Village Outside the Box Etsy shop. I'm going to pop it into the chat here. And there we go. So you can get some Christmas shopping done there, some spiritually fit gifts for folks you like and love. And then you can join the Religion Outside the Box faithful crew by becoming a monthly donor. As you know, that Rabbi gives a lot of these things, these services for free, and your donations help make sure that can keep happening, that the offerings can be even more expansive and robust and always getting better. So you can donate as you are able at this website. In the link, it's rotv.org/support. So thank you for all of those who do give, and thank you for all of you again for showing up and giving and with your presence. And the last announcement is that if you'd like to stay around afterwards, there will be the virtual donut holes with a W. And
calorie-free and
calorie-free. That's the only way, especially during the holidays, all this food and, you know, that's the only way to do it. So I'm going to take a deep breath. I invite you to do the same. So today I wanted to go over this exercise that I'd experienced. So I have a part-time job where I run retreats remotely for a ministry of the Disciples of Christ Church. And we had this plenary speaker who, her name is, there we go. There's the link for giving gifts. So Reverend Lee Hole Moses was a plenary speaker at this retreat that we just facilitated for the college students in this leadership development program. And she wrote a book that's called More Than Enough, Living Abundantly. I'm going to type it in the text too. More Than Enough, Living Abundantly in a Culture of Excess.
Mm.
And she's a Christian minister, so the focus is very Christian-centric. So if that's something that doesn't jive with you, this may not be a book for you to dive into. But if you're okay with sort of taking what you want and taking what you need and leaving what's left, it might be a helpful and kind of enriching exploration. And so in this exercise she led us through, she was inviting us to think about what it means to have enough. And so I know that we all come from different traditions, different places, and are in different parts of the faith. Generally, I wanted to start by just having us think about and sharing as they come to mind for you, stories or moments when you learned about what enough means.
Hmm.
Enough food, enough friends, enough money, enough whatever. What an example, of course, that she gave from the Judeo-Christian traditions are the manna falling from heaven, and you know the story in Exodus where the bread falls and you can only take what you need for one day because it will spoil. And so you know, it's a story that helps putting our mind around what it means to have enough. If you overdo it, the excess goes to waste. And so, yeah, I'm just curious about how you all are thinking about what enough is when we're in a season of being encouraged to buy, eat. Even though we're distanced, there's still a very heavy presence of excess and overindulging. So what's enough for you, and how do you know you have enough?
Actually, in my case, if I'm allowed to speak, thank you. About a couple of minutes before coming to the group, I was thinking that, one of the things that we're doing right now in my family, that we're actually celebrating according to our faith, and it's kind of cool because when I look back in another family that I was in, another marriage and all that, I wasn't, because there was so much turmoil, I wasn't allowed to celebrate really the holidays the way I really wanted to, spiritually minded and all that. And before coming to a group, I was thinking, hey, this is this Christmas, it's going to be a very spiritual one. These holidays, they're going to be very spiritual minded. And the first thing that came to my mind is, oh man, I missed all those years. And I caught myself into that pity party. I said, no, wait a second. Let's concentrate in the present and how much I'm going to enjoy the holidays, which is something that I really wanted to do. And to me, it's all in the family. My family is enough. I mean, we don't need that many presents or all the other stuff, but family. I mean, the family is so important. You know, if we don't have that, I mean, holidays are not happy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ricky. So for you, enough is the time with one another and not stuff.
Right.
How you're saying, yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
There's a great sentiment in the chat. It says, when you don't feel the need to be going anywhere, doing anything beyond where you are, doing what you're doing, that's enough.
Mm.
I like that.
Yes, thank you.
I can't remember how the whole story goes. There's a story, a fable called Stone Soup.
Oh, right.
I love that story.
Yeah. And I think it is this a stranger, like he's not from the town. He comes to this town that's very, very poor. And anyway, I think all they have to start with is a stone to make soup. And he said, well, this is good, it needs a little. And then, like, everybody in the village has a little thing they can add to the soup. And before you know it, they have a wonderful big urn of soup that's actually real soup. So it's, sometimes it takes a village to have enough. I mean, when they all came together, they had enough.
Right.
Is that the story mostly right?
Yeah. It did. Yeah. I think what's how that story starts is that he shows up to the town asking for help, and everyone who he asks individually says, I don't have enough to share. And so he comes to the town center and says, well, I'm going to make soup, and if you want to join, you have to give something. I'm giving this stone. And so then he sort of creates a communal event, and everybody does have something to share when they all come together, like you said, Candace. Yeah, there's plenty among all of us, and we see that differently than when we're just thinking about one of us. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, Carol. Go.
Sharing that story, the stone soup, I had forgotten about that, is a wonderful gift that you shared with us.
Yeah. I've never heard of it, and I'm going to share it with my family, so that's cool.
I believe it's a children's book.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure that I remember there was a song that went with it, or there was like a, my mom got me like a cassette tape of it, and then we listened in the car on the way to school, and there was a song that went with it. I don't remember the song, but
I
remember bobbing my head to like a Stone Soup song.
I
I was just thinking about how what we have here is spiritual stone soup, with everybody putting a little bit.
That's beautiful, Betsy. Yeah. That might be the new Saturday name, spiritual soup.
I love it.
Oh, I like that.
And I have to say, I was telling Rabbi this after the first time that I hopped in with you all, that this is my first time experiencing a group of people where there's a collective sense of tending to one another with a pastoral attention. I've never been in a space where everybody is able to assume that presence and really mean it for one another. And so this really is a very special place that feels like it's more than enough. It feels very abundant and overflowing in that way. Which is why I think part of why Rabbi always starts by saying thank you to each of you, because you are giving a beautiful gem, and that we're all getting to eat and be nourished.
I think we have moments of a sense of abundance, but I don't think we live there most of the time.
Yes.
But I think what isn't emphasized is that the older you get, the better it gets. There is a wonderful statue in the Museum of Fine Arts of the Buddha, and he's sitting there with complete serenity. One hand is on the earth, so he's very much in this world, and the other hand is like this, and things flow in and things flow out, and he doesn't grab anything. He takes what's there now, and then it's going to be gone. And learning not to grab, and learning to turn off all those words a noise that was in your head when you were a child and when you had people judging you. You get to be my age, there's nobody judging me. I really live out of my own center, and that's what gives you a sense of total abundance.
Thanks.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Tony?
Yes, ma'am.
Another thing that I think relates to feeling like you have enough is how safe do you feel? Because I think that what happens is when we feel scared, we don't have enough, and we start to grab at things.
Yeah.
And so defining it for me, as I've defined it for myself, was an awakening to the idea of what am I afraid of?
Mm.
Wow, beautiful. So thank you, Barb. I was wondering if I wanted to do this, but I think, Barb, you just affirmed that maybe I should. I'm going to screen share with you all real quick, and I want to play this. It's a cute little thing, but it's also pretty profound. And I think that bit of safety that you just mentioned, Barb, is sort of, you've probably seen it before. It's just a couple minutes. I'm going to play it for us real quick.
Can you hear okay?
Uh-huh.
Is chasing away the bird that's eating all of his worms.
That was great.
Oh, I know it's kind
of. Oh my gosh, my heart.
Yeah. So what's that? Say more.
Oh gosh.
You can speak so much to that idea
that like you don't understand when you first interact with someone and maybe there's that scarcity mindset of like there isn't enough things to share. And so you get really reactive to the person who's, you know, competing with you, quote unquote, for the thing, whatever the thing is, and then realize that they may actually need it more than you, or that sharing it is more important than fighting over it, and then somehow the magic of like when you open yourself up to this other being, the other being is going to give something back to you, whatever that might be. And then suddenly you have this connection. It's just like, oh, that's like what, that's what life is about. And I love it. In the ideal way, right? It's like, you just open yourselves up to each other and suddenly you're getting so much.
I think that Carol said this last week, or I can't remember, but you know, the idea that when a cell leaves the body, it dies.
Oh, I said that.
You said that. Ricky said it, and that stuck with me. It really did from when we spoke. And I have been, you know, I'm living alone right now, me and my dog, and yet on Thanksgiving Day, I didn't have dinner or anything, which was fine. It was my choice. And I wrote this, that I turned on my hot water and realized that what a gift, what a total, I think I said this too, that we have so much and way more than we need. And I have so, meeting with everybody every week means the world to me. And not just you, I've connected with my improv group, and it always boils down to staying in the moment with each other, and we've developed an honest love for each other. So, you know, my heart, I'm filled with gratitude, and there, we can always choose to find something to be grateful for, or choose to bitch about something that we don't like. So, Tony, thank you so much. I mean, I've been, you know, I'm in a season of my soul finding more love, and it's wonderful.
Thank you, Shirley.
Yeah.
Yes, I realized that when I was halfway home.
So some of the work that sort of pulls Lee Hall Moses's offering into a full circle is to think about excess, lack, abundance, under, in or inside of a frame of generosity.
Mm-hmm.
And she invites us to think about what makes a person a generous person. You know, we have our own lay of the land inside. Like, I don't have enough time. I never have enough time. But I always have way too many likes on my Instagram posts. You know, like we have this weird way of positioning what's excess, what's lack, what's abundance. And she says that the difference is that excess is something that connects us to isolation and discontent, whereas abundance is something that is about joy and community, like what you all have already said. And so I just wonder if we can spend a little time playing with how all of that works together inside of generosity and what it means to be generous when, and maybe in some legitimate ways, the ways that we don't have enough do cause some insecurity, like legitimate insecurity, you know, like, can I pay my rent this month? And so how can I give food when I don't know if I can pay my rent? And so, yeah, I'm just, let's play with that a little bit and see.
Watch this. Less than.
Okay.
Tony Ann, I have a weird story about that. It's about 5 years ago. I was in a position for most of my adult life. I was very in a very precarious financial position, and then I suddenly had the opportunity to buy a condo, but it was a very tiny condo. I would have to get rid of all of my stuff to move into it, and that was really. And I was also thinking, what if I lose my job and then I'll lose it? Da 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 da. So after I decided, I told the realtor, yeah, go for it. And then I went for a walk and I was freaking out. And I was walking around the neighborhood where this condo was. And I looked across, I was across the street, and I looked across between myself and the condo, there's an old power plant that's been turned into an art gallery. And on the chimney, it literally said, more than enough on the chimney. So I was like, okay, yeah. And I went home and everybody was saying, well, you can sell your stuff and then you'll have some more money. And I didn't sell it, I gave it all away. I had to give away like my entire library of books, which I was very attached to, and I didn't sell them, I just gave them away. I gave away furniture, I gave away everything. And so that I can move into this little tiny condo. And every time I look out the window, I'm grateful. I'm just totally grateful.
And so if I'm hearing you right, Anne, you now live in a neighborhood where you see every day more than enough.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
But it was a literal sign on the chimney that said more than enough. And it was part of some sort of art display that they had painted it temporarily, but it was just kind of funny. And I said, okay, yeah, I get it. And then,
I'm sorry to interrupt again, but I think that that is an example of what, I mean, it, for those of us that have spiritual hearts, is the idea of giving, you get back, and it does grow exponentially. So, I mean, that's what the tithing concept, they say, you know, when you give, if you, Larry, our pastor, used to always say, if, you know, that, you know, keep it and you'll need it, and give something and it'll all come back to you tenfold.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. That's a beautiful story, Anne. And it's in community that we find wealth, I guess. So what a beautiful story. Thank you. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Opening my big bazoo.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. What are other folks thinking about generosity? And maybe can anybody say anything about the pull that happens between knowing full well what you have enough of, not enough of, too much of, and still feeling invited to be generous? I don't know. Is there anything there to grab onto?
Well, I think you have to have trust or faith, because there are gaps where it you can't see it. And it's just... you don't know what to do. And if you can have some trust in however you define universe, I think we get through those tough times.
Thank you, Barb. Marcus, I think your hand is raised.
There is something very freeing about getting rid of stuff. Because otherwise we get so weighted down with it.
Right. Becomes a burden. But Marcus, did you have your hand raised or was that an accident? Okay. Sorry, Ricky, were you going to say something else? Thank you, Emily. Yes, it's weird how things can start to have a physical weight on us even when we're not like physically holding the thing.
It's interesting that sometimes the richest people are the you know, not necessarily have to be everybody, but there's so many people who have so many things, and they're so needy, and I mean needy of human contact, and needy of expressing their emotions, and probably that's why they keep acquiring things, and it's so sad because it really bugs them down. You know, the more weight that you have, the less chance that you have to fly and to enjoy things. You know,
So Ricky, thank you for saying that, because I think that's some of why I thought this was such a compelling thing to think about during the holiday season. Because even if you don't participate in a tradition that gives gifts around this time or eats a lot of food, that's still the sort of like capitalistic tone of the winter, fall, winter months. And so I wonder how you all keep yourselves in balance that way. I don't know. I'm not sure I know how I keep myself in balance that way. Like I've been on way too many websites thinking about stuff I don't need, you know? And so how, and yet I do it, and even though I know better. And so like, how do we find balance despite the cultural trends to do something that pulls us out of balance.
Probably telling you the goal here is to give and not to get. And to give with our heart. Because, I mean, I've been times in my life when I had to give something because that was the right thing to do. I mean, that's the Puerto Rican thing to do, to give gifts because, oh, that's what we've always done. And sometimes I may not have enough money to buy something for on so-and-so. But, I'll go to the bank and ask for money to give it to on so-and-so because that's the right thing to do. But that's not really giving. To give something that is meaningful doesn't have to be something that is expensive. There's too many things that you can give, a smile, a pat on the back, saying, you know, how much you love to the person. It has to come from your heart.
Yeah, my husband and I have been having this conversation just like when Black Friday started, and we were both like, what are we going to do? Because we know that between each other, we're starting to have this conversation of like, how do we want to approach giving and receiving gifts at this point in our lives? And that's starting to, it's shifting, you know, that maybe we want like one thing, but otherwise, like, how can we tell people, like, we don't really want a thing, we want, like, we'd rather you donate money, or we'd rather, you know, have an experience together, or something like that. And my sister-in-law texts me and she says, I need your sizes, I'm shopping. and it was that moment of like, do I tell her in this moment, like, no, I don't need any more clothes, like, you don't need to get me anything. It's a really funny thing. It's a habit you have to break out of, and I think that's what's hard, especially if in an insular, like, pocket, you say to yourselves, okay, so we're between each other are not going to give gifts. But then, like, trying to explain that to, you know, like, the outer reaches of your circle is really challenging.
What you can also do for this year versus any other year is say to your friends, relatives, etc., instead of giving me things, take the money and donate it to a food bank this year.
Beautiful. Right.
Yeah, food banks are really good. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Brilliant.
Carol, you've had your hand up for a minute. Sorry about that.
I'd like to welcome our gentleman friend from Uganda. Yeah, I know we have someone from the other side of the planet.
That was so cool.
I think he hopped off for a minute, but he said he's going to come back.
Okay, yeah. I'd love to hear from him.
Yeah, he's leading his Shabbat evening service.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Pretty cool that we can do that, isn't it? Like, talk about abundance. We're in more and more countries each week, it seems.
Talk about abundance.
Right. And in the spirit of abundance, I'm just watching the time. I don't mean to cut us off at all, of course, but I do want to do one other thing in that spirit of sort of generous giving. So I noticed online that, and part of this is my notice because I've been trying to discern if I should be on the end of life side of caregiving or on the birth side of caregiving. And so I spent some time doing a certification to be an end of life doula. And so for a while I was just sort of interested in everything that was end of life care. And I noticed that people started saying this thing after somebody had passed, that they would celebrate them and then they would say, I wish I had given them their flowers when they were alive. And it was such a compelling thought because we've had quite a few deaths in my close circles and family this year. Yeah, Ricky, go ahead.
No.
Okay. Sure. So I've been thinking about that every day. I think, how can I give flowers to the people who I love now because we're here now? And in the season of taking stock of who I'm grateful for and why, I realized that Rabbi Brian is somebody who I don't always say I'm grateful for. And because he is facilitating spaces like this for all of us, and I trust that each of you take your turn to message him and say, I love XYZ thing you did. Thank you for this. What I wanted to do is give him a small gift. And I wasn't planning on him being on the call today. So I told him he was going to have to like hide in his, we can't see his face. So he'll pretend like this is a surprise. So there's this, hold on, let me get the link up. Oh no. Hold on 1 second. So what I'd like for us to do is be generous with our gratitude and share with Rabbi. There's a link in the description. If you're on Facebook or YouTube, the website is padlet.com, P-A-D-L-E-T as in Tom, .com/Tony Ann Reynolds/Rabbi's Flowers. So this is a place where you can write what Rabbi means to this Saturday group from your perspective. And I think that this is just a fun way for him to have a space that will live for however long the internet lives, to know what it means to have him as a part of this group. And you can come back to it whenever you want and add new things as the Saturdays continue. And it'll just keep scrolling and scrolling all of those things you meet. Your names will not be there, but just tell him why he matters. Tell him, To this Saturday crew, what are we here for? And while folks are doing that, we can keep chatting. I just I want to make space in the group for that to happen. Yeah, please.
Bob has his hand up there.
Thank you. I saw his hand too. Y'all want to figure out who goes first?
Bob had his hand up. Bob.
Yes, I think that when we talk about giving, oftentimes we focus too much on material things. And I think that one of the best things to give is to give of yourself. And give of yourself with family, friends, anybody that you interact with, taking the time to give of yourself. And that's something that I think we have unlimited amounts of doing that, and that I know that when other people recognize me and interact with me, that that's what's most important.
Thank you, Bob. Can you, Bob, have there been times when it's been harder for you to give that way than other times? Like, what makes a circumstance easy for you to be able to do that?
Well, in giving, I think that one of the factors that recently I've come to give some consideration to is giving of love. And that, you know, I think that's the main purpose that we exist, is to give love. And that there's a difference between loving a person and loving the actions of that person. So in today's world of challenges, that what I came to realize is that I need to love Trump. Not what Trump is doing, but I need to love the person. And that perhaps one of the reasons that some of his actions take place is that in his lifetime that he may not have received a lot of love. And so that I can send that out into the universe, so to say, and send out that love. And that's one of my focuses that has been. And I feel very blessed with the family that I have, with the people that I had in my career to work with my ability to share with them. Those are all the things that are most meaningful to me. And of course, my wife and my soulmate, and that I feel very blessed with that.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
And all of you as well.
People are blessing you and loving on you in the chat box, in case you're not.
Oh, well, I don't read all of that, but I feel all of it.
I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, Bob, because I've been struggling with that. How in the world to love someone you dislike so much.
Well, it brings back this little film that the dog didn't understand what the worm was for. The second the dog understood that the worm was for a mama that was feeding starving littles, suddenly everything changed about, oh my gosh, that's why you need the worms? Here, have all the worms.
Thank you, Joe.
When we were raising our children,
sometimes it's not so easy. I don't think Trump can send Bob a whole bunch of fish.
There it came. We never gave them money. We always gave them a little gift. And then one day my daughter wrote a note, "Dear Tooth Fairy, when you're done with my tooth, please return it because I want to look at it under my microscope."
We had
a money drawer. And they took from the drawer what they needed. And if they babysat or did something else and had extra money, they put it in the drawer. And to this day, as grown women, they both work for nonprofits.
Mm. Wow.
We just said, you don't reward with money. You reward with appreciation. And they got it.
Wow, what a countercultural lesson. That's great.
You create your own culture in your family. You have
that's right.
From there. And,
and
I think that the people don't have to do what everyone around them is doing. You don't need another snowblower. You don't need another this or that.
Right, right. And I think that's one of my loves for this group is that every Saturday you all choose to do this instead of anything else, like sleep or your laundry or, you know, there's probably a bunch of other things
that's an odd choice.
But also, I mean, in at least in my mind, in that realm of, do I have enough time, taking out the time to do something like this, like communally connect and work on our spiritual fitness a little bit is, you know, it's up against this load of dishes that's right here in my sink that I didn't have the time to do the last 3 days, you know? And so I appreciate seeing seeing each of you as role models in that way of really committing to a regular practice of doing what is best for you and not necessarily what everybody else is doing.
This love is that. More fun than doing laundry.
You're right.
I love that. Laundry, Rabbi Brian.
What we did for the holidays and what they most remember and look forward to is we would go through every song we knew related to the holidays. And just, they know that we would stop everything and just go through all these songs. And they would dance around and sing at the same time. And that's what they wanted. They didn't want things. They wanted everything else to stop to celebrate.
I think that's half the trouble these days. We tend to think that we're expressing our love by the gifts we give, the solid gifts that we give. But in actual fact, we express our love far more by the things that we do. If we are... It isn't a case of physical gifts very often. Because children need love far more than they need computers.
Right.
Love right. And time.
Right. And time, definitely time.
Absolutely.
The time you spend with your children is never, ever wasted.
Mm-mm.
When I was young, I worked from the time my children were 6 months old. So the time I had with them was very precious. My mother-in-law was a professional housewife. The house came first. The house was absolutely immaculate. And every time she came to visit me, I was in the middle of the floor playing with the children, and the dishes were quite often not washed in the sink. And she could not understand that until not long before she died, when she said to me, "I never understood how you could sit and play with the children when you had housework to do. But you were right." Mm. You gave the children something that was far more important.
Yep.
So Yeah.
Can I just, I'm after listening to everybody and to Bob, I'm remembering a very, very dear friend and colleague suffered from mental illness, anxiety, etc., but really rose above it through his writing, teaching, and preaching. But this whole class today, this whole experience, emphasizes the tendency of looking at what we lack, what we're deficient in, over judgment and, you know, really being difficult, but don't really understand that one of the greatest abundances, I mean, putting love in that category of lack or not a lot of it, just that juxtaposition to just turn that, make that little change of that love and attitude and caring and all these values that we emphasize here are abundant. And so thank you. Again, my gratitude to all of you for this. Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah.
I want to add that I've learned that love, you know, is a behavior, an action. It's an action word. I believe that totally, that it's our behavior. Like a mom having to give up doing dishes to focus on the children. It's a behavior, not just a feeling that we put out there. I thought, you know, all of us should write to Trump and tell him how sad we are that he's so sad, you know, that he can't be happy. Write to him. Send him a card. I'm not going to, but more than this, just this spiritual, you know, like Rabbi says, this woo-woo stuff. Got to be more than that. It's got to be a behavior. Anyway, I'm one of those fortunate ones, well, unfortunate ones, who's got too much stuff, and I'm overwhelmed with it. And overburdened. And trying to get rid of it is really tough. Not because I'm attached to it. It's just, what do I do with it? How do I get it out of this house? It's heavy.
I got it.
My books are all gone. My books were the first thing to go. I had a whole room full of them. They're gone. Now, and my clothes are pretty much gone, and my jewelry's gone. And if I can get down to living in a little room in a condominium somewhere with a window that looks outside, I'll be happy.
And it'll say more than enough outside your window.
Yeah, it's all about the window.
Might not be happy because I'm usually not happy, but I must be happy. But this stuff is not making me happy. And it never did, really. Every time I got what I wanted, I was disappointed.
Right.
I worked my butt off to get what I wanted, and then I go, damn, that ain't it.
Mm-hmm. So I want to be mindful of the time that we are about at the end of our time together. And Carol, what you're saying is reminding me of this thing that I heard from a woman. It was really powerful. And so I'm going to invite you to take it or leave it, depending on how it lands for you. That she said the way that we think about our closet is, and the state of our closet, is very much akin to the way we see our spirits and the state of our spirits. And so I was standing in my closet. We moved into this house as my grandmother's. It's full of her stuff. The closet she smoked, her husband smoked. The closet smells like smoke. So I was standing in the closet. I'm going to work every day smelling like smoke. It doesn't smell like me. And I thought, wow, I wonder if there's something to that for me right now, that I could be standing in this closet and there's something here that's not quite mine. Like, what am I holding that's not quite mine? What kind of deep cleaning is needed? What does that look like spiritually? So anyway, I'm domino thoughting here. But I wonder if we do a quick assessment of the room that we love the most in our house and just play with, is this room a reflection of my inside world? How do I lighten it? How do I bring more life into it? How do I open up that, the other Carol mentioned, that palm is open. How do I create a two-way flow in and out of this space so that it can be balanced, so that I don't come home and feel heavy in a place where I'm supposed to come home and feel safe and well and capable, you know? So just thinking about creating an environment that breathes this abundance and generosity that it seems like all of us have a lived experience of. It seems like the heads were nodding and people were mmming, and we all know what abundance feels like. We all know what having enough feels like. And so how do we amplify that in a season where we're being called inward, right? It's cold outside, we're already social distanced, not a lot of places we can go. So how do we turn this into a fruitful time for ourselves and the people who we are in relationship with, like we are on these Saturday calls?
You did that with starting the page for Rabbi Brian. I think that's a start.
Yes, please say all the things there. And also I would encourage you to do that with other people in your life. You know, we can't tell enough truth. I think as much as we're afraid of the truth hurting and being ugly, like we have all those phrases, you know, the truth hurts, that's the ugly truth. There's also a lot of beautiful truth that we just don't share a lot of. And so I would invite you to do that in this season of giving in some way. Somebody who you cherish very much but haven't said, take the risk of being seen as very mushy and, you know, too tender-hearted, and be a care bear.
There tell
them the truth while you can, you know? So there are some last couple of things in the chat. If you do pop in there, thank you, Lee, for throwing those in. The announcements are there one more time, as well as a little small note from Rabbi thanking everybody. Don't forget to hang around for virtual donuts. Also, don't forget to take advantage of those chat spaces on the Facebook page and on the YouTube feed of this video. But stay connected and stay good to yourselves and each other. I'm going to sign off. I invite you all to do what feels best. And thank you all so much again for being really heartfelt. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Well.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Tony.
Mm-hmm.